You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Parenthood After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing. We are here doing Parenthood Season 5, Episode 4. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. And joining me, I have the lovely
Tiana Hobson.
Tiana Hobson, we're back. Danica Kenny cannot be with us tonight, but she will be back next week.
Yes, she will.
But I do gotta say, we're looking pretty fabulous in our purple tops.
Purple threads.
For Spirit Day today. And just a shout out against anti-bullying, because we are against that. So
hey, don't be a bully.
Don't be a bully. So if you're listening on iTunes, I highly suggest you go to YouTube and check out us, our lovely purple shirts we're rocking today, and everyone should be rocking purple today. But let's just get into this episode.
Yes, a lot happened.
We're doing Season 5, Episode 4, In Dreams Begins Responsibility.
Still working that one out.
Yeah, I think it'll eventually come to us while we're talking about this episode. But let's just start with Drew. Drew, he's at college, and he's kind of getting buddy-buddy with his bathroom friend, Natalie, and they're bonding over music. And Drew plays this one song, Only For You, and Natalie ends up playing the song saying, if you like this certain song by Joni Mitchell, then we are truly soulmates.
That was a cute moment because I remember being in my dorm room and, you know, you do whatever you have to do. You do random things because most people don't have cable in their dorm rooms. So, you know, you're sitting around listening to music and it's so cute and you think that she kind of gets the where he's coming from. But then, you know, at the end of it, he knows the song and then she's like, we're best friends.
We're best friends. And I feel bad for Drew because he got so into it and he likes Joni Mitchell. And I feel like most guys might not admit the fact that they like Joni Mitchell because people might judge them or whatnot. But then they both like the same song. And so Drew goes to Adam and Crosby, being in the music industry and having their own luncheonette recording sessions. They'll know more about Joni Mitchell than Drew will. And Crosby just says, oh man, Joni Mitchell, yeah, you gotta know that stuff. And
basically Joni gets you laid.
Pretty much, or gets you past that friend zone that Drew currently
She's a panty dropper.
Oh, we know how Phil gets his ladies now.
Yeah. Obviously, if you want to get with Phil, play Joni Mitchell. Thank you, Phil. But, yeah, they're saying Joni Mitchell, she's the winner. I didn't think Joni Mitchell, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, her songs are just usually so serious and sad. Well, not sad in a sad way, but sad in a happy way. It's weird.
I mean, I admit I haven't really listened to Joni Mitchell. I've heard some of her songs, but from what I know, that most of her songs are kind of slow and lull and kind of on the serious side, but has a good message. Yeah. So, I don't know. Let us know. What's your favorite Joni Mitchell song?
I mean, and, you know, they are in Berkeley, which is a pretty like, political, serious town. Or not serious, but I don't want to say hippie, but, I mean, it's a pretty free, hippie-ish type of town. So, I feel like a lot of people up there would be listening to.
Hey,
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Joni Mitchell and really getting in touch with their feelings and emotions in that way.
I get that. And Drew's such a sensitive kind of guy that it's actually understandable that he would like Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
So he goes and asks some help from Adam and Crosby, and then he studies up on Joni Mitchell and goes back to Natalie and actually admits, I just listened to all of Joni Mitchell's songs because you said that you liked this one, and I thought we were going to be awesome together because we like the same artist. And she admits that that was the only Joni Mitchell song that she really likes.
Yeah, and that she even really knows. So, and it was just from watching a movie, which is where all my Joni Mitchell experience comes from, watching the movie Love Actually. So that's not a great movie. Yeah, it's a great movie, and I'm assuming that's the same movie that Natalie watched and learned about Joni Mitchell.
Maybe, and they actually mentioned in the first season when Hattie was watching with her boyfriend Love Actually, and they got all into that. But I'm going back to a different character, and. So Natalie says, oh, yeah, that's the only song I know. And Drew admits that he actually has feelings for her. But she doesn't really reciprocate those feelings.
Okay, so how awkward was that? Because
that was very awkward.
It felt like one of those moments when someone in the relationship goes, I love you. And then the other person's like yeah, mm-hmm. High five.
Right.
I mean, but she didn't even give him a high five. It was just, well, I know now.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And then they just went right back to doing what they were doing. I was like, oh my gosh, I felt so bad for Drew.
So bad.
I also kind of thought that she was going to say something along the lines of, oh, I thought you were gay. And I thought that's where her mind was going, but instead she just didn't say anything, really. So I don't know which one's better.
I think that would have been a bigger blow had Natalie had said that. But then there's obviously nothing wrong with that, but I think... The way that they ended that storyline in this episode, the fact that she doesn't reciprocate those feelings, or so we're led to believe, just makes it all the more awkward for Drew. And we're like, oh, well, maybe it's college. Go fish for her.
Yeah. And I mean, you know.
There are more people out there.
Yeah, there's a whole campus full of chicks for you, Drew. And, I mean, she never said she wasn't interested. So maybe she just needs to sleep on it for a minute and be like, let me divide my feelings of... figure out what I feel. Maybe she has a boyfriend already that doesn't go to Berkeley.
Maybe. And Natalie does say the line, you're officially my best college friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, just friends. In the friend zone.
In the friend zone. Well, Drew. Maybe. One day, Drew, you'll find that girl who's right for you.
One day. So I want to take a quick minute to just thank you everyone on iTunes rating and commenting. We got a lot of awesome comments.
We did.
Shout out to all you people. I have your names listed. I'll read them out later. But thank you so much for rating and commenting. They were nice and lovely. We did fight for this podcast, and we are here. And I was looking all over iTunes. I don't see any other Parenthood podcasts.
I haven't found another one either. So make sure you're spreading the word and let people know that we're out here and we're doing our thing.
Yeah, and tell friends. That's how we grow at AfterBuzz. And we try our best to be the best Parenthood after show out there. So, yes, keep rating, keep commenting. And if you're listening on iTunes, you can also go to YouTube and check us out. We're in awesome purple shirts today. So,
yeah, you can put a face with the voice.
Yeah.
If you go on YouTube.
Exactly.
See our pretty faces. Oh.
love it. So keep commenting. Thank you very much. And also download Adventures of Sarah Buddy's fun movie. Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro wrote it and directed it. And Artie Lang, Beth Bears, Kathy Lee Gifford, so many people. A bunch of Sarah Buddies on a killing spree having fun. And I think if you like Parenthood, you'll like the quirky humor that's also in Sarah Buddy. So go help that. All those proceeds go back into AfterBuzz and keeps us doing all these amazing Parenthood podcast shows for you. All right, so let's get into Adam and Crosby. They're at the luncheonette. It's nice to actually, I mean, we've seen the Luncheonette here and there this season so far, but we haven't really spent a lot of time there. Yeah, and this is like the first episode of this season that we actually see a recording session back at the Luncheonette. And I believe there was the All-American Rejects.
Yes.
In the studio.
In the studio. We had Tyson Ritter, their lead singer, playing the crazy diva, wild rock and roll boy Oliver Rome.
He was having quite the diva dance.
He was having quite, I don't know if it was diva or drugs or both, but
or I believe their words, and I quote their words, douchebag.
I do have douchebag written all over my notes.
that's what they said. But he was kind of acting up a little bit, I don't know, but hopefully that was all for show. I'm sure he was not like that in real life.
I've never heard any bad complaints about those guys before. And
it's nice to see them still around singing,
I like that they use real artists, you know, to get them in the studio and get them kind of out of their element. You know, they get to act a little and they get to have some fun, and you get to, I mean, it's how you get introduced to new music, because, you know, there's people out there who have never heard of the All-American Rejects or never listened to their stuff, but after seeing them in tonight's episode, we'll then go maybe look into them and maybe find a song of theirs that they like, and boom, you have a new fan.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're having the recording session. He's having a diva moment, and their manager of the label ends up dropping him. But that affects Adam and Crosby, and they're like, we just lost business, we lost money. Adam sees it from the business financial side, be like, yo, we're trying to run a campaign as well, and we're losing business. I have a family to support. And I liked how there was the two different perspectives. Adam has three kids, and there was the line, life's expensive, which it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, and my gosh, they don't teach you that. No, it's they very don't. Expensive.
And Adam does point out that Crosby has a newborn baby. He doesn't realize how much kids will eventually...
Yeah, Crosby's whole thing is, I have a newborn, life's too short to have to deal with douchebags like that.
Exactly.
Which I understand, too. You know, sometimes people are just so rude and evil, and it's like you don't need that sort of energy entering your life, and I can understand why he doesn't want that. But at the end of the day, sadly, we live in a world where you still have to pay your bills and have to be able to keep the lights on for your newborn baby.
Yeah. And they did treat the I kind of get it now a little bit, the title In Dreams Begins Responsibilities. Their dream is to run the Luncheonette and now start a new record label.
Responsibility.
And they realized that, you're going to have to deal with some douchebag peoples. Sorry for that term, but that's what they call it. And you're going to have to deal with people you don't like in order to get where you want to get.
Yeah, and I mean, the music business is kind of a shady business sometimes. You know, there's all these backdoor deals and people trying to swindle you out of money. And then, you know, you have the declining sales of actual albums and everything's going digital. So the record label, you know, like we saw with Mr. Ray, you know, he does his own stuff. Everything he does comes out of his own shop, and a lot of people are doing that more. So it's also a dying industry. So, I mean, the fact that they're willing to take on another challenge, you know, they just got the Luncheonette up and running successfully, and now they're going to add on another layer to that. That takes a lot of cojones.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I just kept thinking throughout this whole thing that Adam wants to start this whole new business. They want to sign All-American Rejects to their label. They want to record it, produce it, distribute it. I'm just thinking, all this money, how is Christina going to feel about it? And we'll get into Christina a little bit, but we'll get into her now.
Yeah.
But Christina, her campaign, she needs money. And she has to, you know, go out to people and kind of pretty much beg for money now.
Which is always, it's always awkward to have to ask people for money. I didn't even like going door to door selling candy bars as a kid. And when you're a kid, at least you have that cute factor going on where people are like, oh, you're so adorable. And you say dollar. and so, you know, they still pay you $1 for your candy bar. But as a grown adult, it's even tougher. And I can't imagine having to do all those cold calls. She's talked about how she talked to that retired teacher, and she's like, oh, I'll give you everything I've got saved up. And it was $25. It's like, those are nice donations. Those are the donations that, you know, come from real people, but it's not going to keep your campaign going.
No, $25 will hardly pay for lunch.
Especially with all the people, all the interns they seem to have now working in the house.
I know.
I hope they're interns because they're not getting paid.
So Heather, her awesome project coordinator right now.
Campaign manager. Were you struggling for that word?
There's that word. Thank you so much. That's why you're here. The campaign manager, Heather, she sets Christina up with a meeting with a developer named Harry Lerner. And so they're at this meeting trying to discreetly ask how to ask for money. Christina says she's running her platform on education and education reform and make the school better in Berkeley. And we find out that before they kind of get into that, that Harry, because he's a developer, he's building all these buildings. And he's coming from his angle saying, I'm building jobs, over 100 plus construction jobs. I'm building, funding money back into the economy mm-hmm. with all these new buildings, which is obviously kind of the opposite of what Christina is doing with her campaign.
Yeah, and his platform is all, you know, his downtown lofts. Hers is all education. She keeps trying to steer the conversation that way. But I know that we've been talking about the past couple weeks our feelings about Heather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she's just a bossy good person or a bossy bad person. How did you feel about their meeting? Because she told Christina before they got there, we're not going to promise him anything. We're going to be very evasive and skirt around the questions. And then she flat out tells Christina, yeah, we stand behind you, don't we, Christina, in the middle of their meeting.
I feel like Heather's been, she's done enough business to know how to play people a little bit and get them to sit down and try to listen to you any way possible. Like, if you say you're going to do this, if it'll get your attention, she'll do it. But then she might be the kind of person who'll go back on her word.
Yeah, I just don't know. I was like, that's kind of really
it was a
not
little
cool.
Shady.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of shady. You shouldn't have told her that. And then, I mean, completely threw her under the bus, forced her to answer the straight up question of, will you support him mm-hmm. if you're elected? When that's the one thing they agreed they would not talk about.
It's like, absolutely. And be like, didn't you just say 5 minutes ago, we're not going to promise anything?
Yeah, I was not okay with how they're doing that.
No, but I do got to give Heather props for setting up such a meeting with a big name developer. He's a millionaire. You kind of do have to hit up the people who have finances, even if they're against what you're going for or not exactly doing the thing what you want, but you gotta, you know, beggars can't be choosers, unfortunately.
Yeah, but, I mean, running your campaign, and then, I mean, people know where your campaign money comes from. Like, Christina, you know, when she was debating if she should cast a check or not, she was like, people are going to know that my campaign was funded by this guy. And so they're going to know that I'm in his pocket. I owe him something.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing. It's great that you got this meeting, but the repercussions of getting it means so much. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and Christina knows that. Good on her to know. She had that bad feeling, and it wasn't right, and it was kind of like selling your soul to the devil. And Christina, she has that strong head on her shoulders. She has morals, and she's all for education reform. She knows that's against what she wants, mm-hmm. and that's when people realize that the lengths you went through, and if you go to someone that you're not for, What was the point in supporting that person, supporting that? And so Christina turns it down. It was a $20,000 check that they did actually get, but Christina turns it down. Yeah. And good on her.
Good on her, but whew, and big on her, because $20,000, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a position where you really do need money, and you know if you don't have money, you're going to have to eventually just drop the campaign and back out. She's not gonna have that happen.
Yeah.
And she's gonna find out a way to get another money.
I mean, she's gonna find donors like Max.
Like Max. Know? That was such a sweet moment. When Max goes up to her near the end of the episode, and he's so straightforward, and I just love how he says it. He's like, Dad said that you're upset, so we shouldn't talk about this. But it was nice to see that even though Max may not fully comprehend it, mm-hmm. but he, the son, even supports Christina yeah. along with Adam. And Adam really helps out in a big way. Because Christina turned down this $20,000 check from Harry Lerner, he goes to Mr. Ray.
Mr. Ray.
Adam goes to Mr. Ray, a former client at the Luncheonette. They had recording sessions there, and now Mr. Ray's a big-time music artist mm-hmm. and very successful. And he goes to him, tries to ask for financial support for Christina's campaign. And the first time he goes, he doesn't really get it across because Adam goes in very intimidated. And he's like, this is not the guy you really ask about, you know?
Yeah, it goes back to that whole thing where, you know, asking people for money is so awkward and so...
It's hard.
And you have to have that... I mean, not everyone has Heather's mentality of, you know, I don't take no for an answer and I'm going to get the money that we need. Most people are like us and like Adam who are just going in there, man, this is awkward. How do I bring it up? Oh, I forgot to ask how he is and now he's intimidating me.
Right. And there is professional tact in how you're supposed mm-hmm. to ask for such a big amount of money.
And it's
for
someone
that.
Who he hasn't talked to since he did his stuff at the Luncheonette. So first of all, you're popping up out of the blue. And the first thing you want from this person is money.
Money, yeah. And he's kind of asking out of a favor now because Mr. Ray is successful and mm-hmm. Adam and the Luncheonette are a reason why he's successful.
Yeah.
So he's kind of asking and banking on the favor in return. And I thought it was interesting how Mr. Ray was like, spoke in the third person. Well, you're not going to ask Mr. Ray how he's doing? What? I'm like, oh, Adam, you're supposed to say hi. How are you first?
He was just so focused. He wanted to get to his index cards with this whole speech written out.
Those index cards.
But I
agree. Like, I admit, I would do the exact same thing. I'd have it all prepared out.
In your head and everything. But I was glad that he did go back when he saw, you know, Christina kind of going back and forth between does she take the money from Harry Lerner, does she not? But did he ever tell her that he got the money? Because we never saw him.
We never saw that near the end.
He was putting up signs with, like, her picture on it and stuff. So I was wondering, I thought maybe he was putting them in their front yard and was going to let her walk out and see.
Right.
But we never got that. So I assume he told her.
Yeah, I think eventually he told her. But it was nice that Adam sold Christina on the education platform, and we found out that Mr. Ray has a child as well, and be like, yes, I completely agree with you. The schools in Berkeley, the education needs to be better, and mm-hmm. I will fully support you. And he just hands out this, like, wad of cash that so happens
to
be in his
pocket. It's only 20 G's. Like, let me count this out. What?
I literally have that hanging around in my pocket.
Who just has that in their pocket? And then he calls for his son to bring him his checkbook. So I got nervous. I was like, oh, man, they're going to have to take Mr. Ray out to the bank to open up a checking account so he could have some checks to write a check for her. But
and that was actually really nice to see that Mr. Ray, because honestly, when they were selling him that he was an intimidating guy, he's not the guy to mm-hmm. ask for this kind of thing. And then when they say that he's all for education, he has the son. I love that. I loved how they brought that into.
Yeah, it shows the softer side because most people assume that most rappers, you know, they're all street and thugs and, you know, they're scary people who don't care about education. But when you think about it, a lot of them have a better vocabulary than me because, I mean, I can't rhyme off the top of my head like they do and, you know, all their alliterations and stuff like that.
And there was even a line where there's the street full of shady people, and mm-hmm. he's like, if you fully believe in Christina that she will beat this and win the campaign, can you take care of this problem that we're also having? So he's also about cleaning up the community too. So not just about education, but his heart's in the right place.
Yeah, he just has this sort of image, I guess, to uphold or he's just having fun with the white boy. That's what it comes down to. Sometimes I think he was just having a little fun with the white boy, too.
Yeah, and Adam finally... And I love how Adam finally admits he does truly support Christina.
Yeah.
Even though he hasn't really shown it in the proper way. But this episode, he's selling people and he's selling Christina. And this time, I think he really, really does mean it.
Now I truly believe that he is backing her. I've been waiting for this because, you know, he's been very quiet about the whole thing. But now he's really sticking up for her. And, you know, he went back to Mr. Ray. So that's great to see that he's finally verbally and, like, physically on board with her.
Yeah. And so Adam and Max both officially support Christina, and I think this should be the last financial problem they're having. That they've been having some financial setbacks, but I think that's finally cleared.
You don't think with the new record label that might cause some financial grief?
We'll get into predictions of that, but yes, that's a whole nother story. So let's get into Sarah and Amber. So we actually start off the episode. They're kind of in this lake location outdoors. And Amber and Ryan, they're like, this is where we want to get married. And Sarah's just freaking out. I was like, oh, spider, love bugs. And I just had a flashback back to Lorelai Gilmore freaking out about a spider in the kitchen. I admit, I'm the exact same way. Oh, that was so funny.
I'm the same way just in nature in general, but...
Well, I don't mind bugs, like, but spiders, oh, no, that's what, okay, I digress. But they're out at a location. It's not, according to Sarah, it's not the most ideal location. Not really where...
It's a hike to get up because, you know, you have to think about Zeke and Camille getting up there. You have to think about all your guests, you know, make sure they wear flats because they're going to be hiking to get up there. But, I mean, it's a beautiful spot. And honestly, if this is where they bring you to and say, this is where we want to get married, the only thing that should come out of your mouth, Sarah, is what do you need me to do?
Yeah. And, but Sarah's not like that. She's like, this is such a small location. Are you sure? What about Ryan's family? Is everyone going to fit? And then, so Sarah questions Amber and Ryan's background and his family. Like, who's going to support Ryan at this wedding? Who's going to be there?
His military buddies.
His military buddies. Who are going to be groomsmen. But we also find out that Ryan's mother can't be there.
Yeah. But he does not get along with his stepfather.
Nope. And then we also find out that Ryan's biological father has passed away. We don't know how, but he's gone too. So that's even less amount of Ryan's family that's going to be there. And Sarah's really like, I want to meet his family. And Amber's the same way. Amber's like, well, if I don't know your family, but you know all of mine, that's not really fair. Or like, why isn't Ryan's family there?
I get that.
She's questioning that.
Yeah, she's starting to question it, but she's also starting to let Sarah get in her head about it because I feel if she had concerns about it, she's never brought them up to Ryan. But because Sarah's bringing them up, you know, then mom gets in your head and then you go to him for more questions and more wanting more answers. And it's just something, I know that they're getting married, so she should know everything, but we know Ryan has some issues and that his family situation hasn't been ideal. So maybe don't hound him for answers. Maybe just come in, you know, softly try to ease more and more out of him, like a little snippet a day. You know, it's like, but now we know that his father is dead and clearly he has some feelings about that. So maybe we'll get to dive into more of what exactly happened there because... I don't know.
Yeah, and Amber tries to slowly question him about his background, his family, like, well, how come they're not going to be there, you know? And she's slowly prying at him. And I honestly thought it was going to be a way bigger fight than what that actually ended up being with her and Ryan. Like, I don't know, I just pictured a whole bigger fight.
Yeah. I mean, it could have gone either way.
It could have gone. But thankfully, Ryan was like, I just don't have family, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, in their past, I think that would have been a bigger fight. But where they are now, I think that's why it wasn't a huge fight. She dropped it and let him kind of be angry and get over it, too. And so, you know, she realized that she was poking at the bear, and the bear was about to get angry, so she pulled back. Whereas in the past, she would have kept poking, and then he would have exploded and taken her car and crashed it.
But that is true, and I think because Amber and Ryan, they're in such a good place right now. Like, all they really do need is each other. Mm-hmm. Despite not having your whole, all your friends and family there, you really just need each other.
Yeah.
And that's, I thought that was sweet how they ended it. I'm glad they didn't fight. But Sarah and Amber, Sarah's still still poking at that bear. She, of course, she's talking to Amber and questioning, you know, Ryan's family. And they kind of go at it. Amber's like, I'm not you. Ryan's not dead. And we know with Sarah's past, she hasn't had the best men in her life. And Sarah's coming from a good point. She's had experience. She's had a heartbreak. And she just doesn't want Amber to go through the exact same things. Because they are so similar. They're so alike.
They are so alike. And I get that a mom wants to protect her daughter from making the same mistakes. But sometimes you have to... your child has to make those mistakes to realize that they're mistakes. So at some point you have to kind of step back and let her make her own decisions, because just like you made your mistakes in life, you know, your parents let you choose all these things, or, you know, whatever your relationship was with them. And she now has to, she's told Amber all these things. She's explained them. She showed them to her. And if Amber still doesn't want to see her way, then you have to just step back and let it happen.
Yeah.
As hard as it is to watch someone go down the wrong path, if you think they're going down the wrong path. I'm not saying Amber's going down the wrong path.
No, no. And Sarah's just worried that she is going. But
and it goes back
she's
to,
not.
I mean, one thing that I mean, I always tell people, and my mom has always put in my head, when you're going through bad times in your relationship and you break up, be careful about what exactly you explain to people, because Amber went to her mom crying about, you know, how Ryan, how she was always going to have to take care of him, you know, when he drove off with her car and they were breaking up, and she went to her with so much that now that's all that Sarah can think about. That's how Sarah sees him now. And so when you're going through a kind of rough patch in your relationship, unless you know for reals that it's over, mm-hmm. just be careful, because then your friends are just thinking of all the horrible things you just said about this person that now you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Exactly.
So you have to just be very mindful about those things, because now that's how Sarah sees him, as this guy who broke her daughter's heart and is
crashed
her car. And
we don't know his family. He's had PTSD problems. Mm-hmm. But I get why Sarah's questioning that. And also when Ryan said the line, just nonchalantly said, oh, my father's dead, it made me question, like, how well does Amber really know mm-hmm. Ryan?
Well, because Ryan always says that
I know
not
he's
around.
A secretive person and he doesn't really like to talk, but how much does she know about Ryan? He's only been in the picture for a year and a half.
I'm not sure how well she knows him, but he is misleading with the way that he always says that his dad isn't around. Mm-hmm. That makes it seem like your dad left you when you were young and, you know, it was just you and your mom or something. Not that he left you as in he is buried 6 feet under and no longer walking the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's his choice in words in that moment. But honestly, it is, I mean, how much does she know? She doesn't even know that.
Hopefully they'll know.
Does she know his mother's first name? That's a good sign. You should always know.
I don't think we even know the mother's first name.
I want to meet the mom. That's more.
I just want to meet Ryan's whole family. But Amber does make a choice to Sarah and says, we are getting married at the lake, and I hope you accept that. And I hope you're still invited. I'm glad mm-hmm. that Sarah's still invited to the wedding.
Yeah. She's still invited, but is she going to show up?
I think she will.
She has to. I want to...
I loved how Sarah was trying to sell the house, be like, oh, this is another perfect location. The lights work, the bathrooms work. It's cheap.
But they can have deluxe porta potties.
Yes.
In the wilderness for their wedding.
Yeah. that was pretty
deluxe.
Funny.
Porta potties. I think that means it comes with a little washing hand station.
Oh, that's
I mean,
true.
Come on.
I mean, I don't spend much time outside, but yes, deluxe. I mean, how can you turn that down?
It's like every girl's dream for their wedding.
Yeah. It's Amber's dream, and in dreams begins responsibility. There we go. I brought it back. All right. So they're getting married at the lake, and I think Amber's going to be really happy there, and Sarah's not going to not show at the wedding. That was double negative. She is going to go to the wedding, despite she might question Ryan.
So, yes.
Anything more on that?
No.
I think, all right, so let's go into the kids. Victor and Sydney. Julia and Joel's, because we didn't really see much of Joel in this episode.
Sadly, no, we did not.
But Victor and Sydney, they're having the typical sibling fights, cleaning. And I don't know, Sydney and Victor just reminds me and my brother. When I grew up, just fighting over little petty things is so brother-sister.
It is a very, and it's good to see them having that brother-sister relationship, because for so long it wasn't there. And, you know, Victor was like throwing bats at her face, you know, I mean. So yeah. It's good that he stopped throwing bats and instead is just, you know,
spraying
Windex on her.
Because that's less harmful. But they're having problems getting along over little chores. And so Julie has the great idea being, hey, you think these chores are bad? I'm going to take you to my father and he's going to give you the same chores that I have when I grew up. I think that was a brilliant idea.
That was brilliant.
Zeke come to the rescue and puts them in their place and has them clean mechanical parts.
And I think it's so great when parents do this because, you know, you're exhausted. You can't think of any other way to get them to get along. So you kind of take them to the grandparents who are supposed to be the fun, relaxed, you know. You go over to grandma and grandpa's house because you don't want to be around your parents and they just let you do whatever and eat cookies for breakfast.
Nope,
and
not then, with Zeke.
Yeah, not with Zeke, though, but he does it in such a great way where it's work, but then it also kind of turns into fun
kind of
for
fun.
At least Victor, you know, because working on a car as a kid, I wouldn't have wanted to do it, but I also wouldn't have seen it as a chore. Yeah. I don't think.
And Zeke did make it serious. I loved how when Julie dropped them off, he was like, I'll see you at 1700. So military-like and in order. And I'm like, 5 o'clock, all right.
Oh, yeah, glad you figured that out.
Army time. So I loved how Zeke came in with that stern military kind of mentality towards these kids, being like, nope, you're going to do this. And I loved how Victor was cleaning that mechanical part with a toothbrush.
Yes.
I was like, that's really nitty-gritty cleaning. Like, I can't remember the last thing I cleaned with a toothbrush other than my teeth.
Yeah, I don't.
But we see Victor actually kind of enjoys it, and Sydney's miserable. That's not her cup of tea, but Victor likes it.
Victor does like it, and this might sound horrible, but I can say it. Is it stereotypical for them to make Victor into fixing cars because he's Hispanic?
Oh, that is terrible. I never thought of that.
That's not their intent at all, but when I was watching it, that thought just kind of waved through my mind for a brief second. I was like, oh, man, I mean, how stereotypical to have the Hispanic kid into fixing cars.
No, I thought of it more as because Victor's not the greatest reader, he'd be better hands-on. The kinesthetic type, he likes learning in that way, even though he might not be the best reader. And we find that out. He's trying to read the manual, and he's unfortunately, he's still that slow reader, and we find out that he's falling back even more so from last week's episode. And Sydney, just being the little
brat,
being like, ugh, no, you're taking too long.
We're going to be here forever.
Let me read this manual. And Victor, such a poor kid. He's just like, oh, so hurt.
You can see his spirits just kind of crushed because he's finally kind of getting it, and
he was having fun.
He's having a great, you know, grandpa grandson moment. You know, we don't get a lot of those with Victor and Zeke. You know, he's still new to the family, so he was just having such a great moment. And then Sydney just had to come and ruin it.
And I gotta admit, I was like that with my brother, and I feel like
you were a Sydney. Ew.
With my brother. Okay, I feel like every episode I'm just revealing more and more about myself. At the end of this season, you're going to know everything about me and my family. But my brother, I'm going to kind of throw him under the bus a little bit. He wasn't the fastest reader, but I kind of was, and I did the exact same thing to him. So
oh, Marissa.
I admit it.
You're such a
Sydney. I see where Sydney comes from.
Oh, I hate Sydneys.
Well, I'm not a Sydney anymore. I'll just say that. I grew up and I became nice. At least I think so. But Zeke sees that Victor's struggling and he talks to Julia about this concern, and so he isolates Victor and be like, I can understand, you seem like you're actually interested in mechanics. Your Aunt Sarah was the best mechanic, and she was a female, and look at you. I mean, you can do it. If she can do it, you can do it. And I love the way how he cleverly has Victor read.
Yeah.
Not really pointing it out like, oh, you're such a slow reader, but this is how I'm going to actually help you help yourself.
Yeah, and he's helping Julia and Joel because, you know, they've been struggling. She's working with him every day. And I know last week we talked about the fact how Julia and Joel didn't go to Zeke and Camille for advice on what to do or to help out. And that's where my mind instantly thought, oh, they should go talk to Zeke. He'll have an answer. He'll have a way to figure this out. And having Victor read an instruction manual.
There's a lot of big words in the manual.
Yeah, Victor's going to be like past his grade level reading. He's going to pass all the kids because the words you find in there, he's never going to see in his classroom.
And the great thing about manuals is that they're so hands-on. Mm-hmm. There's pictures, there's visuals. They teach you step-by-step processes. And hopefully that'll help Victor enhance his learning ability and how to dissect things and figure things out for himself.
Yeah.
It was such a clever way of Zeke exploiting this kind of love that Victor could develop towards building and fixing things and help and like put that and make it constructive and help him learn how to read.
Zeke is amazing.
That was brilliant.
He's brilliant. He's so great. I mean, yeah, I can't even speak right now because I just think
that was Zeke, so smart.
I'm just thinking that if I love my grandparents and I would gladly add Zeke into my arsenal of grandparents if he were a real life character, like in life.
That was brilliant. So good on Zeke, and hopefully Victor will get better at learning. I hope we see his progression.
Yes.
So, is that everything?
Yes.
Did we cover everything? All right. Let's get into a little bit of news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, I watched Lauren Graham on the Jay Leno show
last week.
I love whenever she appears on talk shows. It's always fun. And she talks about her beef with Chris Matthews, the news reporter. I guess he's really into politics and whatnot because, and I actually remember this, she still kind of has a little grudge against him for their Jeopardy match that they had years ago that Chris Matthews kept they were both on Jeopardy, and Chris Matthews kept shouting the answers out before he buzzed in. But they would still give the points and the money to Chris Matthews.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
And Lauren was properly buzzing in. And I remember that because I actually watched that one. And I just remember Lauren Graham just got all these questions about desserts correct. It's so funny. But so because Chris Matthews was also on the same episode, the Tonight Show.
Oh, okay.
So they brought that up. It was a little fun little thing that they had there. And then she also talked about her father being inducted into the Candy Hall of Fame.
Explains why she got all those desserts right.
That is true. Because her father was the president of the confectionery of candy and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, actually, I watch a lot of Lauren Graham interviews, and I feel like she has the same stories over and over again.
Yeah.
But they're still fun to listen to, and her father's legit getting inducted into the Candy Hall of Fame. So that's what she's doing the past weekend, apparently. So, and then I know Danica sent us pictures of set pictures, but unfortunately, we're going to show them next week. So she can go over that because she's our eyes and ears on the actual Parenthood set. I'm so envious of her. She gets to hang out there every single day like it's her second home.
Yeah, she probably sits in the Braverman living room and just
she has lunch at the luncheonette.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't go wrong there. That's awesome.
Gosh, what an awesome job.
I know, right? So she'll explain more on those pictures next week when she comes back. So that's it for news. That was fun. Let's go into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, T, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm not sure that I know what's going to happen. I have questions about what's going to happen.
Okay.
Such as for Amber's wedding. she mentioned that, you know, having her dad there, you know, regardless of their differences and their past discussions, that him not being there would be, you know, sad on her part. But so sad, is she going to have him walk her down the aisle, or will she have Zeke walk her down the aisle?
Yeah, I was just thinking, will we see...
I can't even think of his name.
Corbin? Corbin.
Oh, the actor's name?
The actor's name.
He does the Walgreens commercials.
Yes.
he's the voice of
I
Walgreens.
I can't believe I'm complete... John Corbin.
John Corbin, that's it.
Okay, John Corbin, who plays the dad of Amber and Drew. I wonder if he's going to come back.
I hope he does, but I don't know. I want to know if he's going to actually come to the wedding, if he's going to walk her down the aisle.
He's going to open up a can of worms with Sarah.
With Sarah.
Because I read that Sarah's obnoxious neighbor, what's his name, Carl, that they're going to have a little love flirting interest there.
Oh, so who's Sarah going to bring to the wedding?
Who knows?
You know?
And I think, I just want to hope that someone from Ryan's past, his friends, his family, someone's going to show up for him.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's going to be a wedding crasher. Because how do you not invite your family? Once his family, regardless of their past history, once they find out that he's getting, that he got married without having any of them there, I think will be an issue. So if they don't make it to the actual wedding, then they might be showing up shortly after.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
Cause a little drama.
Or his military friends can come and crash it. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah.
And what do you think of Adam and starting this whole new label? What do you think Christina's going to react to? Like, how is she going to react?
Christina will be supportive like she always is. Getting this band back together, do we really want? Did he make the right choice in choosing the band with the lead singer who is not all there all the time?
And Crosby did point out that they still technically belong to the other label.
Yeah.
That even though they were dropped, legal issues, they signed contracts and whatnot. So I like to see how this is all going to go down, because Crosby really knows more about the music industry than Adam does. He knows business. Adam knows business aspects, but Crosby knows how the music business actually runs. So it's going to be interesting. Lots to see for next week. Tiana, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
And what other shows do you do?
Oh, you can also catch me on Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Parenthood, which is this one, Castle, and is that it?
And Everything Under the Sun.
And just randomly, I'll pop up on other shows. Just like, hey.
What's up? And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here at AfterBuzz on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, any social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Please keep rating and commenting on iTunes.
Yes.
And go check us out on YouTube, because we're wearing awesome purple shirts and you'll be bad. You'll feel bad that you missed us. So go and do that and tell a friend. Thank you, Phil, for engineering. We will see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.